guys. Not taking forever. Love you and all. Kids, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be probably harder than you than I am on the adults, because you can take it. The kingdom of heaven is yours. You don't have to slug it through and be a disciple. So I'm going to share a few things with you. We're going to start in the Old Testament in the book of Jonah. So you can work your way there. You might keep one hand in your table of contents. If you can't keep up, that's fine. I'm going to read to you what we're going over, and you can just follow along as I read it to you. If you're not sure where things are, that's fine. We're going to start in Jonah chapter 1. Kids, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I have kids, and one of them's not here, but she'll get a CD, and I'm sure she'll really love. Here's the deal, and if you have little kids, I'm not sure how beneficial this will be for them at all, but whatever. Here's the deal, kids. You know, from the time you were born until now, you're just like our little baby. And you're just someone we take care of and someone we see to and feed and send off to school and hope you don't fall and have a Band-Aid ready, and that's all delightful and wonderful. But even while we've had that attitude, and you're used to that, you know, you're used to mom and dad clean up for you, take care of you, handle you, etc. And we got a lot of screamers, guys, but anyway, I didn't mean that small a kid to listen. Anyway, it's easy to get into the habit to where, you know, even when you're like, you know, you have hair under your arms and your voice like this and you're muscly and all that, and it's like, hey, oh, well, I gotta keep up for you. Oh, eat your vegetables now, and, you know, let me make your bed for you, and, you know, are you okay and feeling good? Did you have a good day in school? And at some point, everyone has to grow up. And this is one of those times. In Jonah chapter 1, God is speaking to Jonah the prophet, and in verse 2, he tells Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. There was just a moment in time, there was no announcement, it wasn't on the calendar, it wasn't a special day, there's just a moment in time when your childishness, your folly, your still being a baby, comes up before God. And God is like, this child is not a baby. Will somebody do something about it? And it's not a matter of, oh, we finally had enough of you. It's not a matter of, gee, we're tired of taking care of you. It's just a matter of this, that there come times, and there'll be times and times again, happens for disciples as well, that God finally says, what has come up before me is the fact that Zay needs to be more than he is. And I'm like, gotcha, God, game time. And I rough Zay up. I'm going to share with you what I shared with him. If you like titles, our title's Not a Baby Anymore. If you are a baby, you can go play like a baby and drool, and I'm sure there are some diapers around here, so I'll put you in one. But for those who are not a baby anymore, is it all right if I share some facts with you? Look in Matthew 6. That should be easy, huh? Matthew chapter 6. And there will be periods of time where what comes up before God is the fact that you are acting like a child and you're not anymore. You're acting like a little three-year-old and you're not three anymore. And God will address those times occasionally and eventually frequently. But for now, occasionally. And this is one of those times. Just showing you in the Bible how God works. That's how he works, and here we go. When Zay was in, I'll use Zay as an example. He's a good example. When Zay was in preschool, K-4, his preschool teacher said and insisted upon change that Zay does not look you in the eye. And that's interesting, because that's still Zay's preference, is to just kind of brush you off, move on with life, la la, yeah, yeah, all's good. Zay's gig's pretty good. And he works very diligently in it. But then we get stuck with the scriptures. And I look everyone in the eye, and my little boy doesn't, though he's repented. Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23, Jesus speaking. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Exclamation point. I was a teenager once, and I didn't really want my issues addressed by Papa or Mimi, because the reality is that I would have to, like, you know, be honest, and Papa would look at me, and I didn't want to really be looked at, and, you know, I'll figure it out, and, you know, Seth's older, maybe I can learn from him, and not be looked at. I know that feeling. I'll just figure it out, and maybe somebody's older brother knows something, and I'll figure it out as I go. But the idea of looking eye to eye with someone who knows the deal, or eye to eye with someone who will address me, or eye to eye with someone who might challenge me, for I'm used to being babied, is a bit much. And so I'm just going to kind of, I'll do good in school, and I won't, you know, rob places, and I'll keep the parents happy, but I'm going to figure things out kind of on my own. And you know, it's just not the Bible. And Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body, and you can tell how people are doing by their eyes. And now Isaiah's going to stare me down. That's good. Staring contest. Get Isaiah in a staring contest. Do me a favor, disciples and children of disciples. Get into a staring contest with Isaiah and see how he does. Hey, that's a favor to me and a favor to him. Everyone else can email their own favors, and we'll try to oblige. The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. It's like, that's what we don't like as a teenager. It's like, I imagine Jeff's situation. It's like, Jeff comes in, and it's like, man, we have to deal with Dad. Dad just wants to know. He wants specifics, details. It's like, man, he would totally annoy me if I was a teenager. I'd just be unbearable. Ah, I got to go to school. School's exciting. You know? Sitting on the couch is no longer exciting, because he's going to make me be in the light, or he's going to expose the fact that I'm full of darkness, that I'm full of whatever, pain, anxiety, disappointment, dullness, and boredom, or whatever you're full of in it in light. You know, whatever you're full of. Well, I'm full of a bunch of really dumb ideas that I don't want to talk about, because I know they're dumb, but I like them. I like my dumb ideas. You know, and I can be dumb and stupid with, like, my dumb and stupid friends. But, oh, Dad, he's a disciple. I know the feeling. And even in the world, I knew the feeling of not wanting to get in a confrontation with my dad or my mom over the fact that I was very private, hidden, and in dark about what was really up with me. And there's such an opportunity in the kingdom to be real. If your dad is not, and your dad's a disciple, and if he's not the realest guy you know, make that known. Come tell me. I keep a list. Non-realist dads. I keep a list. I got the non-Sharif calling brothers. I got the non-realist dad list. If your dad is not the most real person you know, I want to know. Come to me and say, my dad is not the realest person I know. The realest person I know is my friend Tanner in fifth grade. I want to know that. Your dad should be the realest person you know, and eyeball to eyeball, you ought to be able to have a discussion with no squirming, no darkness. For if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I'll tell you this, for those of us who are old, and there are many of us, look around. Man, we were darkness filled when we were 10, 11, 12, 13, getting darker, darker, 14, 15, dark, dark, dark. Man, deep cavern stuff. Stuff that we didn't talk about until we became a disciple and said, by the way, I did some of these things too. Wow. Anyone know about that? Of course not. And you could have a life that participates in a real life, and it's revealed in your eyes. So, a couple assignments. Staring contest with Zay for everybody. And let me know if your dad is not the realest person you know. Dads are like, whoa, Junior, you good? Not junior, but other juniors. Junior, like, hey, I'm in the kingdom, I'm coloring. Color away. 1 Corinthians 11. So, I got after Zay the other day. And he'll tell stories and stuff, and I guess that somehow works or whatever. He gets by with it. But it's like, Zay, you got to look at me. You got to look at me. And I imagine, and it's true, You blow your parents off the same way. You give them only the respect they insist on. You give them only the attention they insist on. And you give them the eye contact that's minimal and on the way. Perhaps you're absolved of that. I think it's probably common in the world. So I share with you. You have to make eye contact. Your eyes have to be good. Zay, stare me down. It's beautiful. This is nice. Honey, you'd like it. Come stand here, you see. Stare your people down. You know, hey, for not being a disciple at all, I knew growing up that if I had something to say to Papa, he would just stare right at me, just like he's doing now. He'd stare right at me. And that'd be a great service, but it was my heart. Now, I knew, hey, Papa didn't have answers because I had deals that weren't going to work, and it took the Bible. But boy, he just stood there and listened, and we could have fellowshipped in the light about the trouble I was in. But I was not willing because I, like you, would rather learn it from my best friend's older brother, who also doesn't know anything. 1 Corinthians 11. The second thing I told Zay, welcome. The second thing I told Zay is, Zay, do you see me doing that? Is that something you learned from me? Do you do this and act this way because you see me do that? Do you even ask the question, wow, does Dad do that? Does Dad think like that? Is that how Dad does it? He's like, no. Well, that's the standard, Zay. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Hey? Kids, if at any time, I'm the big bad wolf here, so, you know, there's a bigger, badder wolf who tells me to do what I do. So there's a bigger, badder wolf waiting. He has words in red, and you can read about it, and then there's even a bigger, badder wolf than him. But I'm the big, bad wolf here, so this is how it ought to work, children of disciples. If you see your parent doing something, at any moment of any day, at any time, and in any way, you can say, and I'm mostly talking Dad, but you can challenge Mom too. She needs it. But Dad really needs it. You say, Dad, why isn't you do that? For Dad, I'm going to sign up. Trent shared 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Dad, share with me how what you're doing is the example of Christ. I want to see it. Can you show it to me? And they ought to be able to show it to you in the Bible. Not some long paragraph after paragraph, half-hour conversation. That I would say, that's a great question, Jador. Here it is right here in Luke 11:6. That's how it ought to go. Okay? So, kids, homework. At any time, driving in the car, shopping for groceries, around the house, watching TV, relaxing, how you go to bed, how you're put to bed, how you're woken up, everything. Look, ask, Dad, what is it in the Bible that calls you to be like that, or say it that way, or do it this way? I want to follow your example as you follow the example of Christ. See, in the world, it's like, oh, I said so, because I said so. I'll wipe you out. You know? I said it, and I'm dominating me. I'm telling you, children of disciples, you have nuclear weapons at your disposal. Dad, can you show me scripturally why you speak to me with that tone? Can you show me in the Bible why you think that is a big deal? Can you challenge them? Okay? They need it. Can you show me in the scriptures why I should follow you in that way? And you will expose for them their own spiritual problems. And you do not have to follow in that lack of spirituality. You do not have to follow an example that you can't read about. And if your dad is doing things and calling you to do things that he can't show you in the Bible, please don't follow. You're old enough now to have the standard of, I will follow him as he follows the example of Christ. That's where the authority ends. That's pretty powerful authority you have. You can ask, and it's up to him to know. Right? Hey, it's wonderful. I see that ministry go. You know, there go the boys. There go the girls. There go the little kids. Well, amen for the little kids. Must be nice. But there go the boys. There go the girls. And it's like, go play ball. Awesome. Go throw the ball around. Throw the frisbee. Run around. Just chit-chat. Fellowship. Knock yourself out. But we are here being taught the Bible. And if after all these years, your dad, or if you only have a mom, your mom cannot tell you why things are the way they are and show you in the scriptures, we need to know. Because your dad or mom needs serious help. And the last thing you need is to follow an example that is not the example of Christ. So I ask Zay, and I ask you, to consider, does your dad do this? Does he talk like that? Does he handle it this way? Is he this passive? Is he this non-specific? Does he not speak words too, like you? It's like, do I do that? No, I don't. You are to follow my example. I tell Zay, I tell Ari there to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I teach that to the brotherhood. It's in the Bible. That's the way it is. Call your dad out on that. Call your mom out on that. How is this the example of Christ if I am to follow in it? Big deal. Save you a lot of time and get you going with your own relationship that really matters. 1 Timothy 6. Moving straight forward. We're doing great. 1 Timothy 6. You know, it's like some people may have thought, yay, he's going to preach to the children. You know, lullabies and ray, ray for you and flowers and songs. It's like, sorry. you know, you need it harder than these worn out adults. And they already got theirs. And that's largely undigestible. 1 Timothy 6. This is very cute. Going to give you this example because it's good. I'm not picking on Zay. Hey, Zay's got the best gig in the history of gigs. And to this moment, he is up to the task. Amazing to me. He's the best. You know? It's like I remember, it just breaks my heart, but I am not against Julie or anything, but I remember Julie back in the day when Zay started to come on Tuesday nights, and she said, she says, you know, Julie, she says, open. I'll be open. Okay, Jules, go ahead and slaughter people with your openness. She says, you seem a little distracted with Zay here, and da-da-da-da-da. And my response is, Zay's my life. May I always be completely distracted with Zay. You know, I mean, guilty and hope to always be. You know, Zay's the best. But there's a scenario. This is cool because I only did this in college. Zay is to leave school yesterday, take Ari, who's 11, and his friend Harry, who's also in eighth grade, and take them out of school and head down the street, down Loma Avenue. Heading down Loma Avenue and go to Tijuana Flats, the restaurant. Have a little after school lunch or dinner, whatever you want to call it. Hang out, order stuff, pay for it, tip right, tip correctly, the way he sees Daddy do. Tip! You can ask your dad, why'd you leave a dollar tip, Dad? Good question. bust him all up. There was even an accident, and Zay even covered that with additional tip, the way he's been trained. Accident? That's what that person's here with a mop for. Yeah? I don't know. Ask your dad. The person in the mop. What, Dad? Anyway, he was supposed to do all that, and he did, ultimately. But, typical deal, hiccups along the way with Zay. So the plan got modified, different than he sees me do it. He sees me wheel and deal all the time. From the time he was born, I've been a disciple. He sees me wheel and deal, handle things, resolve matters quickly, wheel, deal, take care of situations all the time. And he was ready to repeat a scenario that had previously been over where I rebuked him and corrected him about it that didn't work then and wouldn't work now. And the situation was this. Zace comes to me, and we're at the dinner table, and he says, I'm like, what's the plan, Zay? And he told me in the car, and I addressed it at dinner. He's like, well, the plan is that Harry's dad is going to come pick us up at school, and then he's going to take us, and he'll bring me to the Trinity House, which is my office, and then he'll go home, and then he'll come meet me at the Trinity House, and then we'll go to Tijuana Flats. It's not a horrible plan. Okay? It's not a horrible plan. It's perhaps one you would sign off on. Busted. It's not horrible, but it's not excellent. For that plan was tried previously in the spring. And well, Harry's mom got caught in traffic, and then she was late for a hair appointment, and then she got there a half hour late, and we sat there and waited for her to come because we're saddled with a lame dependent plan on Harry's mom to make it to us to get us to go to where we're going to go. Where it's like, look, you can actually walk. I've given you money. You've seen the example. Make it happen. He called Harry in the car and advised him that, Harry, this is what we're doing. Harry's like, good. Harry had a question. Well, what about my backpack? It's like, my goodness, how lazy you are, Harry. What about my backpack? I told Zay, you can drop all your backpacks at Trinity House and go from there. Cool. Because his violin, Aria's violin, backpacks, I'll accommodate. I'm easy. But just handle it. To sit there hungry and eager. You want to text your mom again? It's like, we've gone to this point. You're 13. You're grown up. You've been raised by disciple parents. And it has all resulted in being someone who's dependent upon Harry's mom and general traffic pattern in the area. So I give you what I gave Zay. Take hold! Take charge! Get it in your hands and handle it! Hold it! Oh, here comes someone clumsy. Oh, here comes someone interested in helping a little bit. This is not too difficult. It is something you could handle, something you could make happen. And the Bible will call you to it in becoming men and women who handle things. And if you have parents who don't handle things, you might ask them where their non-handling of things is in the Bible. I expect a lot of emails from kids. 1 Timothy 6, you can write a handwritten note. You see me every week or so. 1 Timothy 6, verses 18 and 19. Work with me here. These are for people who are well off. You know, people who live in America. People who have opportunities and means and might even be considered rich scripturally. Verse 18, command them. The people with stuff and opportunity. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I am commanding you to do good. Amen. You seem delightful to me. To be rich in good deeds. It's like, take care of others. It's like, this person needs it. Can you just take care of them? Do something nice for somebody. Oh, it didn't occur to me. See, you still occur to you. Well, I would like that. Why don't you take care of others? It's possible to do it. You're not a baby anymore, kids. You're not a baby anymore. Why don't you take care on your own initiative? Take care of people. That's the command of the Bible. You can do that or not. Hey. To be rich in good deeds. To be generous and willing to share. That's the standard. Have you not learned that from your dad in Christ? If not, I'd like to know. And if so, how in the world are you not following that example? Does your dad do good? Is he rich in good deeds? Is he generous and willing to share? The answer is yes. And the question is, so why aren't you? Oh, it never occurred to me. All right, well, it's possible to be older than two. Come on now. It's possible to be older than two or three. And to join him in that. But verse 19 is what I'm really after. But that's for free. 18 is for free, no charge. 19, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Amen. So they may take hold of life that is truly life. In the world, this is the way it goes. I know it. I know. This is how everyone lives. Everyone lives this way in the world. It's like, well, you know, we just kind of move place to place and get excited, hope to hope, and we don't know where we're going or what we're doing. And some of us, you know, we're going to this church. Oh, we're done. Oh, grandma's mad at us. She doesn't come over anymore. Auntie loves us. Oh, she ran out of money. We don't need her. We're moving to another state. It's like, how are all these things going on? It's chaotic. I don't know. Dad's in charge. Hey? And it's crazy. My appeal to you, if you have a disciple who is a dad, in following that example, it's possible for you to take hold of life that's truly life. You can make real decisions. He'd be like, Dad, hey, I'd like to handle this. Is that something you can get with? Is that something you could be like-minded with me in? This really needs to happen. I see this going on. This needs to happen. Boys and girls, children of disciples, I want you to take hold of things. You're so accustomed to having everything done for you. It's not your fault. It's largely our fault. But you're so accustomed to having everyone do everything for you that you don't take hold of anything. Take responsibility of anything other than schoolwork, and amen for that. But it's like you could fan into flame and have your own life. The reason you don't want to talk to Dad is because you want your own life. Your own life's available. You can take hold of life that's really life. And it's not in the shadow of Dad. It's like, hey, you know, for Zay, I'm like, all right, Zay, go get him. There he goes. Whoa. You know, far exceed me. I mean, Zay's schoolwork now reminds me only of my college days. When he gets to college, I guess I'll go, whoa. Okay, it's like, go get him, Zay. He doesn't have to be a freakazoid. You know, he doesn't have to be a vampire. Go get him, knock him out, whoa. We are offering to you, more importantly, the Bible is offering to you, not the shadow of Dad going, well, I don't approve, but life taking hold of his really life. Son, what were you thinking? Well, what I was thinking is the fact that this just needs to happen, and I'm the guy to see to it. Whoa! Woo! That's new. Might get your dad into his Bible. Whew, I've been caught unaware. I don't know. You know, your dad isn't the greatest, I can tell you. I know I'm not, and you know, I'm going to get challenged and do, and it's cool. You know, the greatest is Jesus, and it's possible to take hold of life that's really life. But I think the thing that drives your heart to want to get out of the shadow of Dad is the fact that there's a shadow of Dad. Well, let me see that. That's kind of sloppy. I would want to get out of that shadow too. So you're going to help God change your dad, and you're going to, in fact, take hold of life that's truly life, and you don't need to leave your house to do it. You don't need to leave the light to do it. You could actually surrender to the fact you're not a baby anymore and take hold of something that's greater than that. Look in Luke 19. I'll bring you home, and I'll release you back to ball. And that's delightful. You play ball, we get roughed up here, and then you get to ask what we learned, and you get to find us that we didn't learn enough. Luke 19, this is the way it works, boys. You can be greater than your dad, you can be greater than your mom. See, the greatest opportunity I had, I'll be honest with you. You know, my parents had horrible childhoods. It's just horrible. I mean, they basically had no upbringing at all. That's just the way it is. Sorry. And amen for them that they were determined not to pass that on. You know, divorced and mixed marriages and half-brothers and sisters and confusion and all of this was their childhood, but not mine. They were determined that we weren't going to move state to state and city to city. I grew up in one city. Wow! I grew up in one house. Whoa, how stable. No wonder I'm ready to fight the world. I'm all good at home, but most of us, oh, man, it's just rough, you know. Oh, what do you got to smoke? So, yeah, it's all funny, isn't it? I want you to know that for me, my parents saw to it that I had opportunities they never dreamed of. Never dreamed of. That what was passed to them largely was stopped. Not completely, because you need the Bible to do that, but largely was stopped. I could be anything, do anything, be myself. I could be funny and crazy and wild and entertaining, and I was. And I don't know if you can. Like, I don't know if you can really be you at home, or it's like, oh, I'm at home now. Man, that must be rough, because that was never my gig. And if my kids feel that way, then it's their own fault, because they're wild and crazy and out of control in a good, righteous way everywhere I see them. They're just crazy people, and delightfully so. Bear with me. But if you have to be someone different at home than who you really are, the head of your household is in trouble and you need to make it known. Why don't you tell the head of your household that you have to be someone different at home than you really are and explain the reasons why. And I would expect your dad to come and confess that and get help with that. But I'm not offering you your dad's shadow today. My kids are far more delightful than I am. They work very hard, harder than I worked at their age. They are challenged. I mean, it's just the expectations are high and the demands will be great, and that's from heaven. Amen. But if you can't be real at home, let it be known, because something's seriously wrong. But this is the way it goes for you. This is the, these are the rules of the Bible. Luke 19, verse 17. Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faith, my good servant." His master replied, "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. This is what should be going on. You prove yourself to be more than a baby, and you will be given charge of things that matter. Like you may be in charge of, well, I'm in charge of taking the garbage out. Boy, you know, you couldn't get a robot or a stupid person to do that. I guess, charge of what? I'm in charge of taking the... Well, I'm in charge of doing the dishes. Well, how boring is that? I'd rather talk dirty with my little friend Susie. Huh? Yeah, exactly. You prove yourselves to be more than a baby, and you will be given charge of things that matter. And if your parents are in the way, God is very good at doing this with your parents. There's a parent in the way, but a child who has a heart for really taking hold of life and really doing something. And God will go, "Excuse me, parent. All right, now what we got going here? Cool, all right. And you can participate in this ministry all you want. You can come hear the messages all you want. You can get the teachings all you want. You can get on the email list if you want. Okay? You decide. You can get emailed. You can get emailed back. You can participate. You can ask questions. You can raise your hand. You can ask questions of me. You can ask questions of anyone. You can really participate. It'd be up to you. It's available. But the thing that happens when you prove to be more than just a little baby who, you know, oh, they fed me and clothed me and then I went on with my own life that I enjoyed. You prove to be more than a baby. And God will put you in charge of things that matter. And in this case, take charge of 10 cities. Wow. Because you have been faithful and trustworthy, it says, in a very small matter. Like I, you know, say God says, all right, Zay, I want you to go to Jador, and this is God talking. This is not a conversation I want. Zay, I want you to go to Jador and ask him about his home life and not relent until you're satisfied that Jador is as good to go as you are. Well, that's not as fun as playing ball, and we have kind of a superficial relationship, and we don't even look each other in the eye, and that's going to just sour the whole friendship. Well, what kind of friendship you got then, I'll answer. But say Zay does, like, Jador, tell me about what it's like at home. Man, that's just not right, Zay could say. What are we going to do about that? Well, why don't we go join them and raise our hand? And if Zay was trustworthy in that very small matter, God might put him in charge of some of us. God might give him charge of something that really matters. Like, Zay, we need a question from you every week. We delight in Julie's questions because, ooh, they're good. They're to the heart. It's wonderful. It's like, Zay, ask a question every time they get together. And take charge. And do not let it go until it's answered. You can have a relationship with God that's real and better than your parents. Do not let their relationship with God or their relationship with you give you the idea that that's as good as it gets. It is not true. You can ask questions about anything you want to ask questions about. You need to be who you are at home and let it be revealed by the Bible and let people deal with it. And if your people can't, you need to let that be known, because there are people who can. What is available to your parents is available to all of you forever and always. You have got to take hold of what you know to be deal in life, that's know to be the deal and what life is truly life. You need to look people in the eye, speak real words instead of grunts and groans, real words, and follow the example you see that can be shown to you to be scriptural. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for this time together with the children of disciples. Amen. We'll rough them up a little bit. Father, their hearts will be revealed because they'll do what they want to do. Well, amen for that. But Father, open, and the opportunity for them is to do everything we do. Open for them is to do more than we do and be more than we are. There are no shadows in this ministry, Father, other than yours. And that's the shadow of your wings where we find comfort and peace. Father, I pray for the boys and girls, the children of disciples, that they will be up for more than just, sucking on a pacifier at age 11 or 12 or 15. That they'll be up for more than, looking at mom and dad for a bottle and actually, look at mom and dad for an example. I pray for that, Father. That must take place. They must be engaging, Father. They have an attention span to go to class, to class, to class. Their attention span at home, maybe 90 seconds tops, and that's if it's a really big issue. That is a total rebuke, Father. The children must change, and those who lead those households must change. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.